Open God's Word with me and turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible of your own, grab the one in the pew rack in front of you. You'll find that on page 118, Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 6 as we introduce a new topic in our study of Here We Still Stand. As Martin Luther 500 years ago stood for the truth, we too, based on the authority of Scripture, on faith in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation, we still stand for the truth. And we will begin looking at the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 1, and I read in Jesus' name. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words to us, and help us to understand your word to us. Would you teach us from your word today that we might have a desire to obey your word and so to live in the freedom that word brings to our lives. Thank you that in Jesus Christ you have set us free to live in a relationship to you, a relationship of love. And we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. It still seems strange to me that on Friday morning, I woke up in Seattle, albeit quite early, went to the airport, got on an airplane, and by Friday night, I was safely in my bed here in Ottawa. It still seems fascinating to me, the miracle of air transportation. Now, it's not quite what it used to be. It can have its moments. But human beings have been fascinated with flying for as long as they have watched the birds soar high above in the sky. But it was only a little more than a century ago that human beings actually broke free of the confines of Earth and flew into the sky, and that marvelous freedom of being able to soar with the birds. Well, as you well know, or as you should know, it was two brothers by the name of Wright that made that all happen. But perhaps you don't know that they were not just bicycle shop tinkerers. They were actually wise Christian businessmen and astute scientists who thoroughly researched what was then known about flight and who tested models of their designs in a wind tunnel that they created, and also who mathematically calculated the coefficients of lift and drag. And if that goes beyond you, don't worry about it. But that's what makes flying possible. It was not by chance that they became the first to fly, but it was by carefully studying and applying the laws of aerodynamics that they were able to set us free from the bounds of this earth and begin to usher in a whole new era. You might be wondering just about now what aerodynamics has to do with the Ten Commandments. Well, let me tell you. Science does not make progress by ignoring or breaking the laws of nature. Science does not make progress by ignoring or breaking the laws governing the physical universe, but science seeks to discover and to apply those laws. Now, in a similar way, we do not live life fully by ignoring or breaking God's moral laws, but we do so by applying those laws to our lives as God designed them. That is, by obeying them according to God's purpose for those laws, for our lives. Now, the Ten Commandments are God's design to live a meaningful, purposeful, and abundant life. They're part of God's design for us, and we need to understand and how to apply them to our lives in the way God designed for them to be lived out. Now, in order to apply God's moral law, as it is given to us in the Ten Commandments, and we're just doing an introduction, we didn't read all of the commandments this morning, but in order to apply God's moral law, we need to understand three things about the commandments as they are given to us in the Bible, which our catechism makes very clear. First, they are relational. Second, they are freeing. And third, they are loving. Well, let's take the first one. They are relational. That means they are based on a relationship with God and are meant to maintain and deepen that relationship with God, but also with others. The Ten Commandments begin by stating our relationship to God. Exodus 22, what we read, says, "I am the Lord your God." That emphasizes a relationship. God had already established a relationship with Israel before he gave them his law. He didn't give them the law in order to establish a relationship. He had already established that relationship. I am the Lord your God. And these commandments were to maintain and to deepen that relationship with God, but also to be the model of our relationships to others. The relationship preceded the commandments. We do not obey the Ten Commandments in order to establish a relationship to God. Okay, you do these things and then you can have a relationship with me. No, we keep the commandments because we have a relationship with God. And so first of all, to understand and how to apply these rightly to our lives, we need to understand that the Ten Commandments begin with a relationship. I am the Lord your God. You cannot begin to apply the commandments in your lives unless you have that relationship with God. You can't begin to keep the commandment, "You shall have no other gods," unless you have a relationship with the one true God. And so, are we trying to keep God's commandments in order to establish a relationship with him? Thinking, okay, if only I please God enough, then I can keep these commandments and I can please God and he'll accept me. That doesn't work. Martin Luther tried that. He thought that was the way to get to God. He tried as hard as he could. He entered the strictest monastery that he could find in order to try to please God by keeping all the commandments, and he utterly failed at it. But it was through the scriptures that he was set free to realize that it wasn't in keeping the commandments that he established a relationship. It was through faith in Jesus Christ that God establishes a relationship with us. And then we can begin to keep or to apply God's truth to our lives as he intended it. So a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ provides the means, the grace of keeping that commandment. We can't keep the commandments apart from having a relationship to God, and we can only have a relationship to God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came to this earth, to bring us to God, to seek and to save the lost, to bring us to him through his perfect life, through his sacrificial death, through his presence living in us when we come to accept him, to believe in him, to trust in him. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." It's a relationship first. And it deepens and our relationship with God and with other people. More on that later. The commandments are relational because they are given to us out of a relationship with God, and they are relational because they tell us how we can grow in a relationship with God and others. We were made for relationships. God created us to live in a relationship with Him and with our fellow human beings. He is a person, and He wants to have that personal relationship with us. Life is all about relationships. If we take that out of the equation, we're just existing. Part of what made our vacation a wonderful time of renewal was the relationships that we enjoyed with family and friends. Okay. You know, when we break God's laws, we're not just breaking rules. We're not just breaking the commandments. When we break God's law, we're doing those things that break and distance ourselves from our relationship to God. And see, that's why we apply these to our lives, because we don't want to be distant from God. We want to have that relationship with Him, and we want to deepen that relationship with Him. Secondly, the commandments are not only relational, they're based on a relationship, and to maintain a relationship, they are also freeing. Now, we don't usually think of laws as something that sets us free. The message is titled, "The Freedom of the Law." And so we don't usually associate laws with freedom. We think of them as restricting us. But there is no freedom in any society apart from the rule of law. God established His covenant relationship with Israel at Mount Sinai by saying, "I am the Lord your God." The relationship preceded the commandments. But then He went on to say, "Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." They were slaves in Egypt. And God is giving His commandments to those who He had freed from slavery. In a similar way, Jesus Christ has freed us by His sacrificial death. I was just reading this morning in Hebrews, that Jesus Christ ransomed us from our sin by His death on the cross in order to free us from the grip of sin, free us from the grip of death, free us from the grip of the devil. He came to free us, and it's through Jesus Christ that we have this freedom. So God gave His laws to those who He had set free from slavery in order for them to live freely, to maintain that freedom. And through Jesus Christ, God has indeed set us free from the bondage to sin and death and the devil, and has opened the way to the joy and freedom of His eternal kingdom. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, whoever sins is a slave to sin." A couple verses later He says, "But if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." The Ten Commandments are designed to maintain our freedom by applying them in our lives and to keep us from falling back into that slavery to sin. We do not become more free by breaking God's moral laws. We become more in bondage to sin when we do that. We become more in bondage to our lusts, our greed, our insatiable desires. We do not find freedom in breaking the laws of God, but in keeping them, in applying them to our lives. So in Galatians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Later on in verses 13 and 14, He says, "For you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity of the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" And so the law is given not to confine us, but to free us, to allow us to live in the freedom of God. The freest way to live is in obedience to God. The surest way into bondage is just to live according to our own earthly, fleshly desires, breaking God's commandments, which were meant to keep us free. Okay, so the law is relational. It's freeing, but thirdly, it's loving. We just heard that the whole law is fulfilled in one word: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said that in Matthew 22, verses 36 and 40. It says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. We usually think of the commandments as something very negative. You know, you shall not. And really, they're meant to be something very positive to our lives. God doesn't so much want us to keep us from doing the wrong things as much as he wants us to do the right things. When we're doing the right things, then we'll be fulfilling the commandments. One positive word that Jesus used to sum up all the commandments was love. Was love. In Romans 13, verses 8 to 10, the Apostle Paul says this again. He says, don't owe anyone anything except to love each other. Or in another translation, to keep that continuing debt of love. We make sure you always owe that to one another. For the one who loves has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandments are summed up in this one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And so God's law is relational. It's given in a relationship to him in order to maintain and to deepen that relationship. It is given to free us from our sin, and it's only through Jesus Christ that we're set free by faith in Jesus, by trusting him. As we apply God's truth to our lives, we live in that freedom, not being bound again by our own lusts and desires that lead us away from him and destroy relationships with others. And finally, it is in that love relationship that we find God's true purpose of the law. God's intention in giving us the commandments is meant for us to experience his love, to live in his love, and to live in that relationship of love with one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. There's nothing left out. And it totally encompasses everything in our lives. Jesus told his disciples, he says, there's a new commandment. You know the old commandments. Love God. Love your neighbor. But Jesus said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. It's found in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I give to you. That you love one another. Oh, that's the old commandment. Love one another. The new commandment is this, that you shall love one another as I have loved you. So also you love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What's Jesus saying there? I've loved you. We love because God first loved us. We don't keep these commandments and then, okay, I'm going to be loving. I'm going to be loving. No. God has already given us and poured out his love in our hearts. And because of God's love in our hearts, because we've been loved by Jesus Christ, we love out of a heart full of love that God gives us. Again, don't try to keep the commandments in order to have God love you. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Romans 5:8, Christ died for us. His love preceded our obedience. We can't do anything to deserve God's love. He already loved us and established a relationship of love with us through Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of obeying God's commandments. We have to realize God's established a relationship of love with us. That relationship frees us to live our lives fully for him, not bound by our own sin and selfishness, but now focused on our love for God and a love for one another because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through his Holy Spirit. You know, I was thinking about this week that I need these Ten Commandments. I don't always live lovingly. Now, you may not think that because, you know, you see me at the best of my, at the top of my game here. You know, you have to ask my wife and my kids. You know, they've seen me in those unloving times. They know that my heart often gets bound up, enslaved by unforgiveness, by anger. You know, I'm so thankful for what God has delivered me from anger. Some of you may have seen me angry. I hope you haven't, because it's not a pretty sight. Linda will attest to that. I'm thankful that I rarely get angry. It's not that, you know, I've just evolved. It's just that God has poured his love into my heart so much that I realize, just forgive, you know, just forgive. But still, we covet, we desire things that God hasn't planned to give us. You know, we get bound up with all of our own agenda and all of our own things that we can't see the needs of others. Our catechism tells us that we have not kept the commandment, you shall not murder, just because we have not taken somebody else's life. But if we have not done what is positive, that is seeing the need, the physical need of our neighbor and doing nothing about it. The Bible tells us, how can the love of God be in us if we see our neighbor in need and just say, well, you know, be filled and God bless you, and we don't do anything about it. See, God's commandments, through a relationship with him, through being freed from our own selfishness, by living a life of love in him, frees us to be able to apply these commandments, to see the need of others, to take us beyond ourselves, to see the need of others, and so apply that in our lives. God's commandments were meant for this life. God's commandments were meant to be applied. And just like flying does not break the laws of gravity, but actually applies a new and more powerful law, the law of aerodynamics, which, according to this coefficients of lift and drag, which you may not understand and you don't need to, all you have to do is hop in the plane and the pilot will take you there. The engineers have already done all the work. In the same way, God has already done all the work. You don't have to understand everything about the Christian life in order to soar on wings as eagles, as it says in Isaiah chapter 40, at the end of that chapter, verse 31. We just need to trust God. He's done the work in Jesus Christ. He has loved us with an everlasting love. And so we live in that relationship. We live in that freedom. We live in that love, to love God and to love others. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, if there's anyone here this morning still struggling, trying to make themselves acceptable to you through keeping the law, Lord, help them to give up on it right now. Lord, just as Martin Luther had to come to the end of himself before he came to the beginning of trusting you through Jesus Christ. Lord, help us all just to lay down all of our burdens at the cross. The law was never meant to save us. The law was never meant to make us righteous. The law simply shows us our sin and your hatred of it. It shows us our need for Christ. And Father, help us to lay it all down at the foot of the cross so that we can come by faith and believe in Jesus Christ. And Lord, having faith in Jesus Christ, Lord, you have established that relationship. You have freed us from past performance, a need for past performance. You freed us from our past and our sin and our hopelessness. And you allow us to enter into the joy and freedom of a relationship with you, a joy and freedom that will culminate in eternal life with you. Father, if there's anyone here that's not done that, may they just cry out to you and say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sin. I believe that you paid the price so that I could be set free. I ask you to come into my heart and into my life as my Savior and Lord, that I can live in this relationship with you, in this freedom of the gospel, this good news. Live in this, the freedom of your love. And Father, so living in that relationship that I can love freely, to love you, to love others. And Lord, so to see the commandments in a new light, a light that allows me to apply them in my lives so that I don't get bound up again, but instead continue in the relationship of love, continue in your freedom, continue in loving you and loving others. So, Father, would you do that in our lives? In Jesus' name, amen.